It is impossible to please God. The Bible says, but it also says that all things are possible to him that believeth. And where does faith come from? Well, it comes from the Word of God. It comes through preaching. The Apostle Paul says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given to preach among the Gentiles, not something that they can imagine, but the unsearchable riches of Christ. He opened the treasury of Jehovah to them by his preaching, because he himself had experienced it. And that's exactly what John and Peter had when they said, such as I have, give I thee. What did they have? Well, they had what we have. They had Jesus. They had the presence and the indwelling Son of God through the power of the Holy Ghost. But they were not spoiled like we have been by false theology and false ideas and false thoughts. They were so close to the resurrected Son of God that that life of Jesus flowed freely. There was contact. There was no non-conductor in Peter and John. There was no thought of self. Why do you look on us as if through our own holiness or power we had made this man to walk? This Jesus whom ye crucified is risen from the dead. He is alive. Remember Jesus Christ of the seed of David, alive, raised from the dead. According to my gospel, he was willing to suffer all things for the elect's sake, that they also might obtain that great salvation. But faith without works is dead means to say that faith produces works. Faith contacts this treasury of Jehovah and brings it into my possession. And that's why he makes such strong statements here. Like the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works. What good is a prayer if it doesn't receive an answer? That's what prayer is for. That's the way Jesus Christ teaches prayer. How much more shall your heavenly Father give? But he shows that it takes persistent prayer. And without that persistent prayer, the devil runs off with the victory. We have an adversary. We have that same teaching in Luke 18. That widow who went to the judge and never gave up is set forth as an example to us. We should never give up. Jesus Christ makes us to realize why we don't get an answer right away. And yet, he says, the answer is absolutely sure. It's as sure as God Almighty is sure. That's the teaching of the Bible. And that ought to create faith in my heart. Now, in Abraham's case, his faith grew strong with the temptation. And the longer the test lasted, the more his faith grew. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He held on to that promise. And the stronger the enemy worked against him, the more he said, the more he was persuaded that what God had promised, why God shouldn't have promised, but the reason God promised it is because God insisted on manifesting the power of his glory upon this earth. And he knew that in Abraham he had a man that wouldn't give up. And Jesus Christ needs people that won't give up. That's why he gives us such exceeding great and precious promises. So sure, made sure by the fact that he is risen from the dead and God set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places to be our high priest, and he is able to feel with our infirmities. But faith without works is dead. We ought to take that to heart, because we are often satisfied to just say, well, Lord, we believe. But to believe God means to have the works. We ought to learn one lesson, I think. Myself, I have been exercised very much by this thought that we give up too soon. We don't do like that widow woman. We faint. Jesus knew that the temptation would be great to faint. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Almighty God does not chide us for the fact that we are tempted to faint, but he does chide us for the fact that we do not persistently wait upon the Lord until he avenges us. Verily, I say unto you, he will avenge them speedily. That ought to be a rock foundation for our faith. I'm not going to give up. God Almighty knows my temptation, and he will not suffer me to be tempted above that I am able. But by our wavering attitude, we prolong the agony. we give chance to the devil. The Lord was teaching Elder Brooks one time about a certain matter in his life. He said that he was ready to cash in. He was at the point of breaking up. And the Lord says, no, you don't. You don't have any great sickness. You make it easy for the devil to give you some kind of a demon of unbelief. And that is what's the matter with us. All unbelief brings the enemy to play. He likes that. Unbelief is the open rear door through which the devil always comes in and steals the jewels of God. The unsearchable riches of Christ are waiting to be received by humanity. And we're not only tempted by one enemy, but by a whole hell full of them. But, oh, hallelujah, what a privilege to take the shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I think that this bread of life has been a great blessing. Mr. Gardiner related the stories of Mr. Milan, for instance, in Death's Off, and that story of Elder Graves and his wife is tremendously beautiful and wonderful, and shows how these people held on when they were tempted and tried. Norman Camp's wife, too, she was a woman in the Christian Missionary Alliance, and she was hopelessly crippled. And one day the Lord spoke to her. I think she had a vision of Jesus. And he told her that he was going to heal her. But the trial lasted, the trial continued, but the faith rose within her soul, and she was fully persuaded. That's faith. Faith is to be fully persuaded. That is faith. Where does faith come from? Not from looking at symptoms. That's where unbelief comes from. Faith comes from looking at the Word of God. That Word shall be health to all their flesh. And God will not suffer me to be tempted above that I am able. I must settle that within my soul, that God is true. God is faithful. And the Lord has said, victory is for the man that believes that God is faithful and will fear no evil. And sometimes the Lord said the victory consists in just standing still and thinking, why, God is true. Every man is a liar. God is true. And his word is forever settled in heaven. That ought to make me steadfast in my faith. But we need to take this word to heart. Faith without works is dead. Faith was never intended to be without works. He is the author of faith, but he is also the finisher of faith. You receive the end of your faith, that is the purpose of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And faith is always victory. Jesus is victor. The work is complete, crushing all enemies under his feet. But unfortunately, we often give up right at the place where God would have the victory for us. I often think of those women down in South Brooklyn where we were called to pray for a girl 15 years old who had been dismissed from the hospital as incurable. And the mother told me that 5 members of their family had died of the same disease. It was a very painful thing, and the doctors were baffled. They didn't know what was the matter. And when I came, this girl was screaming at the top of her voice. And the neighbors had gathered down in the hall, and they said, why, these people are murderers to let this girl suffer like this. And when I came in, the doctor had just put on his coat to go and to tell the mother that there was no hope. The only thing he could do would be to cut her open. And maybe, he said, we can find something. And then the mother became hysterical. And here those 2 women were screaming. And I had come there. I didn't know the people at all. And when I came to this mother who was in her rocking chair, just crying out her heart, I began to laugh. The Holy Ghost began to laugh within me. That was strange. But I laughed. I said, you know, man's extremity is God's opportunity. Let's do now what God says. The doctor's done his best. And so we prayed for this girl and left. Next morning when I came to see, because they didn't let me know. Charles took me down in the car. Here the whole house was filled with the glory of God. They told me that shortly after I had left, both of them went to sleep. And the mother said she slept from 7 at night until 7 in the morning for the first time in months. She hadn't been able to sleep. And now this girl met me perfectly healed. Both of them came to church the following Sunday and testified to it. But how strange, man's extremity. That doesn't make any difference at all. The thing that does make the difference is that wonderful faith which is substance. Jesus tells us what faith is. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. He's talking about living faith. That's the living seed come down from heaven. That word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God has spoken to us by his Son, by whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, and he might add, and borne our sicknesses, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. The work is complete. The fact that he sat down shows that he has won the victory, and now he is waiting for every enemy to be put under his feet, but he needs you and me. They that follow him are called and chosen and faithful, and isn't it a wonderful thing that God has called us into this fight? It's a fight of faith. It isn't pleasant to the flesh, certainly not. We will get acquainted with the enemy. And the Lord said something that scared me. The Lord said one time that God intended man to meet the devil in combat, and the one that won out was to be the one that would carry the victory. Now, victory is absolutely sure if I fight that good fight of faith, but it will be a fight. But faith will always be victorious because it's not faith in something or some organization, but faith in him who sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, waiting till every enemy be made his footstool. This enemy too that is tempting me today is his enemy. And the victory that God has for me is his victory. And every one of us is called to be led from triumph to triumph. He always leadeth us in triumph in Christ. Now I have a sanctified imagination, and when I think of that verse, I always think of Jack London, who carried with him a dog. And he took him to every dog fight in the country. They used to have dog fights at the fairs. And his dog always won the victory because it was half wolf. And the people didn't know that. And so this wolf would make hash out of every other dog that met him in combat until he met a British bulldog. And that bulldog bit himself into this wolf's tail and didn't let go. But anyway, up to that time, he always let that dog in triumph. That's what that word means, who always leadeth us in triumph. We are in his following. We are his witnesses that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, but without works. How can I prove that I have faith without works? That's what David said. He said, this world shall know, or this land shall know, that there is a God in Israel. Now all the others no doubt had prayed against Goliath too, and maybe had shouted all kinds of curses at him, but that didn't do any good. But David had something in his heart that was different. He had faith. Faith is different. Faith is substance. That's why I ought to dwell upon the word of God and not upon my symptoms or upon my trials or my tests. Those tests can be very severe. But faith, as I dwell upon that word of God, as I take it into my heart, it is bound to sprout and bring forth fruit of righteousness, which is by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And that wonderful parable in Luke 18 ought to speak to our hearts, because we have come to that place where it's got to be fulfilled. When the Son of Man cometh, he is coming, and his reward is with him to give to every man according as his work shall be. I may not be able to accomplish anything for God that will make me shine in the eyes of men. But if I'm one of those poor that is rich in faith, look at Sister Spotchill. What a marvelous wealth of faith that woman developed. And maybe because she was so poor and so simple, she knew nothing about theology or exegesis or philosophy or psychology. Not, but she didn't know Jesus. To her, it was just Jesus. It was not this or that or the other, but it was Jesus. And because she delighted herself in her Lord, he gave her the desires of her heart. After she had been healed of rheumatism, she told me one day that thing seemed to come back What did she do? She didn't even call for the pastor to pay for her. She said she had to do her exercises. She walked up and down in her room and just threw up her arms and did the twist and praised the Lord. And presently her rheumatism left her. Oh, she said, that thing cannot come back. Why, Jesus Christ healed me. She was rich in faith. You and I are rich in faith because Jesus Christ has given us these exceeding great and precious promises. Unsearchable riches. Not just a little bit. Not a little bit. Not a little victory now and then. Not to give us a little relief from our sufferings. But perfect soundness in the presence of all the enemies. Perfect health. Oh God, perfect victory over sin, over bondages. We don't believe God, else we would never give up. We don't have to give up. And it would make our fight very victorious and very glorious. Of David we read that when Goliath came to meet him and cursed him by his gods, and David knew now there's no backing out anymore. He had reached that point of no return. What did he do? He didn't shake in his knees. He didn't get green behind the gills. He took his stone and his sling, and he ran to meet that giant. I like that. He ran to meet the enemy. He knew certainly that enemy would be defeated. He had told him, I'm going to take your head from you today. He was so sure of God, and he was so hid with Christ in God that he didn't think of himself at all. He knew that Philistine had cursed the living God. And that's the trouble with us. We relate everything to ourselves. And when we get a victory, we like to boast. I had an experience with a man who was dying. He was really dying. He had been sick for months. And he was in such a terrible condition that we, Mrs. Haas and I, were waiting for his death. And at that period, God raised him up instantly. It was like someone raised from the dead. I'd never seen anything like it. What did he do? Immediately began to boast. Immediately began to pray for others and talk about his great victory. And when after a while that sickness came back and the man died, his wife said, I think that was the right thing for God to do because that man would have been unmanageable. I had an experience in Akron, Ohio with a woman who was dying because her appendix had burst and gangrene had already set in. A young woman, God healed her. And I was so happy and everybody else was happy. But you know, presently she wasn't satisfied with her Pentecostal church anymore. She started meetings of her own and got into fanaticism because now she thought she was something peculiar, something very special, because she held out. When everybody else told her that she was a fool for not having an operation, she held out and now pride came in. Isn't that what killed Hezekiah's victory? When he had been healed in such a marvelous way, oh, God had moved the sun backward in order to give him faith. And when he had that healing, why, the whole world took notice of it. And it wasn't that victory over Sennacherib's army that tempted him to be proud. But now, because he had had that healing and the ambassadors from Babylon came to inquire about it, there was some root of pride springing up in Hezekiah's heart. And the Lord says a wonderful thing. He talks about the worth of Hezekiah, how that he was a man that trusted in God more than anybody before him or after him. But in the case of these ambassadors, the Bible says, God left him. There comes a time when God seemingly leaves you. Not in the hour of testing and trial, when the devil tempts you and tries to defeat you, but when you're blessed, when you have a great victory, God left him. Isn't that what's happened to some of these great preachers, Dr. Dowie and others, that failed just at the place when God used them very greatly? And maybe if we searched our hearts, we would discover that our defeats stem from a root of pride that God sees and God wants to root out. And Hezekiah brought great wrath upon his kingdom because he was lifted up with pride. Oh, what a terrible, terrible thing pride is in the sight of God. We don't know. We carry that devil around with us and we carry it into our service for God, and we don't realize what an abomination it is in the sight of God. And we don't bother to get rid of it. And when we get tried some other way, financially or mentally or physically, then we cry, then we pray, then we labor. But if God could help us to labor over the matter of holiness, of purity of heart, of humility and so on, why, all these things would be added unto us. We ought to search our hearts deeply. I remember reading in the diary of Mrs. Robinson when she sought healing. When she sought that place in God, she had to get rid of this and that and the other. And she said, I don't want God to heal me until I have learned my lessons. I like that. She realized that healing was inevitable. She said, I'm sure that God's going to heal me, but I have some lessons to learn. And so God led her from one lesson to another, and diligently she followed God until that great victory was won. Victory is inevitable. Victory has already been won. I don't have to ask Jesus Christ if he is willing to heal me. He has already borne my sickness. He has already suffered in his own body on the tree. That's already finished. But the question is, will I learn my lessons, and will I fight the good fight of faith, and will I be a true soldier of Jesus Christ? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned. The Apostle Paul could say, I've kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Let us rise up this morning and let God put on us again that whole armor of God and strengthen us with might in the place where we've grown weak and fainting.